These bugs have been present on CPUs found in most devices since the mid-90s. How haven't they been discovered until recently?
Well, that's actually quite a good question, and I think it's because of the complexity of it. It's quite a hard thing to detect, and a lot of these CPU manufacturers never really realised that people would come to find these bugs. It's something that is so low level and so complex that and most people never really thought much of it and thought that it would actually be a problem, that that they actually never thought into the future that far ahead. It's almost like inventing something that looked good at the time, but you never really think, like the Y2K bug, you know, you don't really think ahead that far and think that, you know, if we build a date that can only satisfy this many digits, you know, what's going to happen after the year 2000. So I don't think they thought ahead that far when they built it.
Yeah, right. Bit of a scary thought sometimes. So which processors and devices are mainly affected by this?
Well, the winner, I guess, is mostly AMD, but they're still affected somewhat. It's a bit sketchy as to who's owning up at the moment, really, and saying who's got the actual fix that's going to come out first. But AMD are the ones that are least affected. iPhones, anything with Intel inside, the most affected. I suppose it doesn't help when I think the CEO of Intel sold, I think, all his shares pretty much the day that this was announced. Intel CPUs, like so iPhones and Apple, every kind of Intel CPU are quite severely most affected. And both of these, I know they're coupling them as the same sort of vulnerability, but they're quite different in a way. But we can treat them similarly because they both do the same sort of thing. It's just that one is a bit more dangerous than the other. And they're, trying to keep it simple for sort of in layman's terms, they're both essentially just sort of go outside their allocated space in the computer, essentially, and say, you know, it's possible to look outside where they're supposed to be. Every application's got a spot in the memory where they're supposed to be able to store data. And again, they didn't think of it last time within the last 20 years that perhaps, you know, if something happened in this way, they could accidentally sneak into this other area and look at what some other application is storing. And it's a scary thought because now with virtualization and with people storing multiple servers on the one server with virtual private servers, you could potentially have a look at the passwords or the details of the cache of other particular applications.
Yeah, right. That could be. That's a pretty scary thought. Very interesting, though, how these things that we've created are able to end up doing more than we thought they were able to do, kind of thing. So for those that might not know, myself included, apart from being a James Bond film title, what does Spectre do?
Basically, Spectre uses a technology called speculative execution, and that's essentially it's good. It's supposed to be. It's cache, so it remembers calculations, and it's supposed to speed up our computers. So over the last 20 years or so, all these X's and Y's and Pentiums and Pros and all these extra little numbers at the end of our CPUs have all been for a reason. And essentially, things have got faster and faster, and we never really looked at the repercussions of it because we just kept on getting faster. But we didn't realise that although it was speeding up things, there's now a repercussion. So because we've been caching things, we haven't realised that that we're storing this cache in an area that is compromisable. So it makes sense, really. If we're doing computational sort of, storage, and we're actually constantly working hard and calculating things that are constantly, having to draw upon all the time, and to go back there, it's faster to go back to do, if we're working with spreadsheets and we're always doing, we're always continuously doing a certain type of algebra or a certain type of mathematical formula, it's going to be faster because the CPU learns to do mathematics a certain way. So it just says, all right, well, you know what, I'm going to do it this way this time all the time. And it puts it basically caches the method that it uses, and it puts it into the CPU's memory. So it basically puts a learning method into its memory. So that's what speculative execution is. It's sort of like a guessing method. And people have programmed applications to use that memory for other things like passwords and for formulas.
Right.
And they didn't realize that was actually vulnerable memory.
Well, on the same line of questioning, what is Meltdown? What does Meltdown do?
Well, the difference with Meltdown is that speculative execution is available to that program only. With Meltdown, it's looking at the kernel's memory, which we're not talking about KFC here, but we're talking about the computer, and that's when it comes a bit more dangerous. Every time you press a key on your keyboard, you're only typing something, and you think it's finished when you finish typing. But when you're that low level, and that's what has been undetectable, and really people haven't even thought about this, but when you're that low level, every keystroke you press, have you not wondered, sometimes when you do things a second time around, things are a lot faster on a computer level? It's basically Meltdown looks at things on a system-based level. So that's a real concern, because that's not just looking at the application like Internet Explorer, isolated sort of speculative execution. That's looking at the whole system. So that's where the real danger comes in, where somebody who's using, say, Linux on a shared server could potentially hack into a Windows system of a completely different user who's on a virtual private server on the same server, but basically on a completely different instance, for instance, or somebody who's using or an Excel macro can be a virus that can actually read the password of your open QuickBooks.
Yeah, right.
So it goes outside of its isolated space. And that's why AMD and some software versions and some software packages are sort of a little bit more safer than others, because they run in isolated execution. But certainly Meltdown can actually go outside of that execution and basically attack the kernel cache, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the whole kernel, essentially. So, and if you can do that, you can think of the damage. I mean, if you can go into the whole sort of computer and say, oh, and I have a look at this memory over here, you could pretty much, it's almost like ransomware, essentially. You could almost sort of like go into BIOS and make it so it doesn't boot up ever again.
Yeah, right. It's only occurring to me now, there's like lots and lots of factors to these different software applications, really, that just affect the way you use a computer. What have the companies whose products are affected by these bugs, what have they done to remedy it?
Yeah, well, basically, I think we're pretty safe with... this is where it's good, where you've got one manufacturer and where you'd be counting your lucky stars, like with Apple. because you're going to get an update and you've got one person to contact. With Android, even though Android are very good at their updates, you've got, 10,000 manufacturers or so that have to get that update through their versions, and that they do believe that they can actually get an update through software, which to me is interesting, considering it's a hardware failure essentially, and that's where everybody's complaining about the speed issues that are going to be caused from this, which from my research, and it's all very fresh as well for me as well, looking at it and from the news, but they say that it doesn't actually make that much of a difference in testing at the moment. They have noticed some disk speed difference, but not much processing difference. But it just basically means that people have to be on the lookout for updates, so they need to contact their manufacturers or update to the latest version. A lot of people snuck the updates already in December, so they're pretty safe. There's going to be, certainly on our website, and I'm sure the media is going to be very much into promoting the updates on who's got what out there. I think Microsoft Internet Explorer and Safari, they're already working on or have issued updates. Apple, I think, have announced that they're going to be implementing it in the next iOS version. And a lot of them are doing it through their browsers. So because that's, ultimately the most dangerous point where someone's going to get a virus from if somebody writes something.
Yeah, on the internet.
Yeah, so it is a concern, though, because everybody carries a mobile phone and, their smartphones and everybody uses the internet. So, and people don't realise that ARM and Intel, these chipsets, they're actually, now one of the same things, and they are all computers, and they're even in devices these days as well. Chromebooks are also affected, so they're not affecting Chromecasts, but certainly Chromebooks, so people have to contact their manufacturers. But the most thing that I don't think people need to fuss or stress at the moment, because
that's good.
I have not heard or seen anybody who's actually capable of exploiting this.
Right.
I think somebody did a test, and in JavaScript they were able to make one number different, or something. It's very, very low-level machine code and very difficult to exploit. I'd say it'd be very hard for somebody now knowing about this to get something commercial out there. And they've already started fixing the bugs at the CPU level, and already dispatched in December the fixes for a lot of the manufacturers anyway. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think people are going to be fine. It's just a matter of don't close your eyes. Just keep your eyes open and wait for that next update to come out.
Yeah, check with your manufacturer and look for those updates.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much, Simon, for joining us. We're just coming up to the news, so I could talk all day about this stuff, but we'll have to cut you short there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, I hope I've helped you out a little bit, and people, definitely don't worry about it, but keep in touch with your manufacturers and that, and you'll be fine.
You heard it first here on 2SCR. Thank you so much, Simon.
Welcome.